Blog Talk Radio.
My name is Raina Starr. With me, as always, is the incomparable Star Bustamante. Take a bow, Star.
Hey.
The 415 is brought to you by Desperate House Witches and the amazing Wild Hunt. Please check out wildhunt.org. Give it all your support. It is the pagan paper of record. Please also note that on the 415, we give a lot of opinions, and they belong to us and no one else. So anything you hear is not a reflection on wildhunt.org. Just our opinions. But we have some ground to cover today, don't we? First thing we'd like to talk about, we'd like to send let's send that shout out of love to all of our friends and family and everyone who was affected by Ida. Ooh, Ida, honey, you tore up New York, something fierce. Louisiana, all kinds of places are underwater. Oof, wow. I mean, I've never seen, except one time, and I'm almost 60, only one time in my life have I ever seen the subway close in New York. I mean, literally, you can't take a train. That's only happened in my recollection one previous time. Oh, and before I forget, there is cursing and swearing on this broadcast. So you've been given the heads up. But we just wanted to send our best wishes, love, and energy to all the folks affected out there by this horrific storm. I mean, just devastation. We, you know, one of the writers that we know lost everything, house, everything. So, Katrina, sending you some love and some healing energy in your situation. And there's countless people that we don't know who are suffering from this horrible devastation.
Well, it's been, I mean, it's pretty, first of all, Louisiana, I mean, this is like one of the worst storms to ever hit. And I think it's important to note that just, you know, the day before, kind of like, they were completely unprepared for this to become a Cat 4. And it stayed a Cat 4 for quite a while, like it's hours and hours. It's set on top of New Orleans for 12 hours and with seriously damaging winds and, you know, major flooding, although the levees did hold this time. But, I mean, it's going to be weeks and weeks and maybe a month or more before power is completely restored to all of New Orleans. But as if that wasn't horrific enough, I mean, like, if you look at the impacts from what happened in New York yesterday, I mean, last night I was sitting just kind of watching what was happening via social media, and on Twitter I was seeing, you know, there were actual tornado warnings for New York City. Like the reports of the flooding, I mean, people were stranded all over the city because of subway stations being flooded, and so they couldn't get anywhere. Apparently, the death count at this point is 28 people in three states is what I'm seeing at the moment. I mean, it's pretty bad. I mean, people were stranded all over the place in New York City. I was hearing a story just a little while ago that, I'm sorry, it's now been updated, now 29 dead. Massive flooding in Philadelphia. New York City hit a new record for the amount of rain, like, over 3 inches an hour. I mean, like they said, I think 10 inches of rain in just a few hours. I mean, that's extraordinary. Anybody that doesn't believe climate change is real is just insane. So all across the from Philadelphia all the way up into Connecticut, there were, you know, they got 6 to 8 inches, and then the hourly record for Manhattan was 3.15 inches in an hour. In an hour, 3 inches of water. I mean, you think, well, 3 inches of water isn't that much. I can assure you that it is a lot of water when it's everywhere. The total so far, what I'm seeing here, is that it was over 7 inches of rain that fell in New York City, which is the fifth highest daily amount that they've ever had.
I'd like folks to stop what they're doing for a minute and remember that if you are standing in a puddle of 3 inches, it is covering your entire foot and creeping up your ankle. That's 1 hour. This went on for several hours, okay? So think about your house standing in knee-deep water for the average person, or just under your knee. Think about the devastation that would wreck in your house, okay? So I just want people to have a little bit of a reference point of, because when you hear 3 inches, it sounds minute. But when you think about that in 1 hour, and then you add another hour and another hour and another hour, you can't move fast enough to save your belongings. It's just not going to happen.
No, you really can't.
Yeah.
And plus I think it's misleading to think of just, you know, I mean, when you're talking about 3 inches in a glass or, you know, in one area, but we're talking about 3 inches everywhere. And they're saying 7 inches for the city. You know, that means rivers out of their banks and everything else. Yeah, it's pretty extraordinary, really.
It's a lot harder to walk through 7 inches of water than you think. It sounds like a small amount, but believe me, if you've ever had a leak in your basement or something similar where you were trying to put buckets under a leaky roof, imagine no buckets anywhere, and it's just coming in. It's scary. It's very scary. I'm sure there's going to be property damage, millions and millions of dollars in damages. There's just no way around it. A friend of mine posted pictures last night from Staten Island, the expressway, and the water was so high, there was no driving. I mean, just cars stopped because they could not go anywhere. Could you imagine, like, trying to get home and not knowing where you're going to sleep because you got trapped outside without even a car? I mean, there's no place for you to go that's safe. It's terrifying. I can't even imagine. I feel horrible for everybody who's suffering right now, and so many people are.
Well, and
please keep those folks in your thoughts.
Absolutely, and I think it's also important to point out that, I mean, this is typically, New York does not get this kind of weather like that.
Right.
They don't get 7 inches of rain, or even, you know, on average, 3 inches an hour is just pretty extraordinary. So, and unfortunately, we're going to see more and more of these types of events. I was listening to NPR this morning as I was heading in to work for a bit, and they said, you know, as these events become more normal, and my first thought was, this is not normal, we need to not normalize it. It is It may become more common, but it is not normal to have that the kind of weather that we've had over the course of the last, you know, few weeks here. I mean, we had Fred,
sure.
You know, we had Ida, and there's something else cooking up in the Gulf. I don't know if that's going to have an impact or not, but none of this is normal. So I just want to be really clear. It is not normal for New York City to get 7 inches of rain at a pop. Not normal at all.
It, speaking of things that aren't normal, I don't know. The rule of law, I mean, what a segue. Texas is killing me. I can't even bring myself to think about the ramifications, but we're all going to have to, because repressive voting laws are bad enough, and repressive voting laws are pretty fucked. Okay.
I think oppressive is the word you're looking for.
It's insanity.
Well, it's regressive and it's pretty insane. So for anyone who's maybe, you know, I don't know, been living underground for the last 24 hours. Let's unpack this a little bit.
All right, so let's start with what they wanted to do, okay? So apparently they want to limit the ability to request and secure an abortion once you have hit the six-week mark. Now, in my history, now it's a heartbeat bill.
They've been trying to pass heartbeat bills all over the place and have been shot down. And what that
right.
means is that when you can first hear a heartbeat within a pregnancy, you know, from the fetus, is at about 6 weeks. So,
which is when most women figure out that they might be pregnant a lot of the time. It's difficult to know if it's merely a skipped period prior to that.
Well, a lot of women don't even know it's 6 weeks. I mean, it's most common for a woman to know about the eighth or ninth week, you know, because, I mean, a lot of things can cause you to miss having a period. You know, stress. Anxiety, worry, I mean, any of that, lots of, you know, if you're training, I mean, women who are seriously training, you know, as an athlete, you know, it's not unusual for them to not have regular periods at all. There's all kinds of medication that can cause you to miss having a period. There's more than one reason that a woman might miss a period. And here's a shocker. You can be on all kinds of birth control and still get pregnant. So
not only that, but I had my period every month for my first pregnancy. I didn't miss a period. We didn't know I was pregnant until 5 months because I kept losing weight and gaining baby. So there was not a whole lot of obvious change at first because the trade-off seemed to be one for one, and I was still having a period every month. So my only suggestion that makes any kind of sense is to lay in a huge stock of morning after pills, and, you know, it's going to cut down the sex life. That's just what I'm seeing. I'm already hearing about it from younger folks. It's like, we already stopped fucking. Now you want to make sure we never fuck again. Come on. I mean, seriously, younger folks are not the way we were back in the 70s and the 80s, where we knew that it wasn't a birth control method, but we knew the option was there if we got in trouble. Okay? We knew we had an option if everything went wrong. Condoms break. I got pregnant on the pill. I mean, everything that can go wrong might go wrong. So it is a last resort. Nobody goes into getting an abortion like, woohoo! That is, it's not a decision people make in a joyful manner, or I don't believe a light manner. It is something that is necessary. The people who are against it, you don't have to have one. But it's not your right to limit what another person does with their body. Listen, I'll never need another abortion. But I care about the people behind me who might. And I think we all need to remember that there are generations coming after us who are going to need this option if everything goes wrong, because sometimes everything does go wrong.
Well, that is very true. But this isn't just about – I want to be really clear here on the impact of this, because
mm-hmm.
this is not just about abortion.
Right.
There's so many layers to this. It's going to take a little bit to unpack here.
Yes.
First of all, so let's say that you have a miscarriage and you needed a DNC, which is essentially
yep.
what the procedure that is done when an abortion is performed. But it's not the only reason that a DNC is done.
Right.
And for
Correct.
Those of our listeners who might have very tender ears, I'm going to be talking in a little bit of detail about what a DNC involves.
Yep.
If you're squeamish or have difficulty hearing about women's body parts, I suggest you turn away.
Mm-hmm.
In essence, a DNC is they go in and either scrape or vacuum out the lining of the uterus, and
right.
it's done for a number. That's the very simple. I am not a medical doctor, nor do I play one on TV, so this is just a bare bones explanation for how that process works.
And I have had it for a reason, having nothing to – and I had to have a DNC, and my doctor suggested a second one, and it has absolutely nothing to do with pregnancy necessarily. My doctor found that I was bleeding excessively and couldn't
mm-hmm.
stop, and it was from a thickening of the uterine lining. And that was the
yeah.
only thing happening in my person. But he said, you need this procedure, a DNC.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the bleeding started up again, he said I needed yet another one. And I said, how many times will I have to have this done? And he said, if this situation continues, you will continue to need to have it. So if they are limiting
mm-hmm.
my ability to have this procedure, I could get very, very sick.
Well, so for a woman who has a failed pregnancy or
mm-hmm.
a miscarriage and they
mm-hmm.
don't get – and they need this procedure done, the next
mm-hmm.
thing that happens is that they end up with an infection a lot of times, and it can
yep.
kill them. But the other
yep.
interesting thing here is that in trying to prevent this procedure from being performed women who develop an infection from a miscarriage can be left unable to carry a child to term due to
right.
scarring.
Yep.
So the impact of this law is because it places caregivers, doctors, anybody who helps a woman to get an abortion after 6 weeks in the crosshairs of being sued. So
right.
doctors are going to be less willing to perform what should be a routine procedure, and it's going to
yep.
put the lives of potentially millions of women at risk.
Yeah.
So, I mean, so there's that layer. Now, also included in this darling of a bill that they have passed, it allows for anyone, because they knew that it would not stand if it were up to law enforcement to enforce this law, because it's unconstitutional. Mm-hmm. Okay,
right.
So basically, anyone anywhere in the United States can sue someone that they believe has helped or aided and abetted someone who has sought, you know, who has helped someone get an abortion. So think about that for a minute. It is going to be an absolute clusterfuck for the courts, in addition to people who are going to try to bring lawsuits against doctors and facilities and possibly, I mean, like even an Uber driver, the way the law is written, like if you call an Uber driver and have them take you to an appointment where someone believes that you received this procedure, that Uber driver could also be named in the suit. You know, if your neighbor takes you to the doctor, they could be liable. You know, let's say that you have a woman who is much further along and has every intention of keeping her pregnancy, and you see a pregnant woman go into a Planned Parenthood, and she's very pregnant, and then let's say she's your neighbor, and you live close to the Planned Parenthood, and so you see her go to Planned Parenthood, and then you see her a week later, and she is no longer pregnant. Whether you know anything about what her circumstances are, you can bring suit against Planned Parenthood and allege that they performed an illegal abortion. So, I mean, the ramifications for this law are absolutely horrific. In addition to
but it sounds like this is not evidence-based. It sounds like you can just say whatever the fuck you want at any given point without any real evidence of what's happening and throw a lawsuit. Is that what I'm hearing?
I am reading this correctly, and not only am I not an attorney, nor do I play one on TV. You know, I mean, I'm not a doctor and I'm not a lawyer. If my reading of this is correct, that's what it looks like to me. Is that basically anyone can sue? You know. Well, I mean, you can sue anyone for any reason anyway. Now, the courts may take a look at it and say, yeah, I don't think so. That, you know, then it becomes, you know, whether or not it has standing or not for it to be a viable lawsuit. But the people this is going to hurt most is going to be people who do not have means, right?
Right.
So anyone who is not who does not have you know, easy access to healthcare, who does not have enough money to go to another state, you know, I mean,
right.
Middle and upper class white women are not at risk here because they can hop on a plane and go somewhere else. Now, I don't know. Depending on the way this is written, if she gets on a plane and goes to another state in order to have an abortion, can they sue the airline? I mean, I'm not really sure how that's going to work out. But the one thing I can assure you is not only is this going to have horrible impact for women, not just in the state of Texas, because I can assure you that as with previous heartbeat bills that have been shot down, what you're going to see is a blueprint of this bill probably making it through states that are GOP-led. And in the end, this will be knocked down simply because it's unconstitutional. Unless they are going to overturn Roe v. Wade, this bill is unconstitutional. Sets up a huge kind of a constitutional crisis, because they're saying that Texas law supersedes federal law, which cannot be. In the end, this will get sorted out, but the damage that it is going to do in the interim is going to be horrific.
And it's not just women's health care being impacted is part of it, of course. My fear, okay, is that the alt-right, the extreme Trump supporter, the extreme QAnon, will develop this idea of vigilante justice and just start doing terrible things and taking people, vigilante justice and start going after doctors and providers and hospitals. And I think we're going to see a whole, if this continues, if this is allowed to stand and spreads to other locations, which I will be honest with you, although I think you had told me earlier that 70% of Americans support right to choose.
Mm-hmm.
For whatever reason, this hideous cloud, these, extreme Trump appointees, and we knew this was going to happen, which is why we did so much talking about the vote in 2016. We said, president, you can like one, hate the other, hate both, doesn't matter. Keep your eye on the Supreme Court. We have always said, this is about laws. This is about the Supreme Court. Well, for those folks who didn't listen, this is the wages of that sin. For the third-party voter who didn't like Hillary, or the person who sat it out because I don't like either, this is what happens. Laws will be made that you don't agree with, and you will be stuck. And you will have no one to blame but yourselves. Okay? I'm not saying either side is perfect. Absolutely not. Democrats have tons of issues. Liberals have tons of issues. Republicans have tons of issues. However, I've only seen one party go so far to restrict the rights of the people. That is not both sides. I will not entertain that argument. Maybe that's just me. But this is the result, is it not? When you don't pick the side that closer aligns with you, you wind up with these kinds of justices on the court. Listen, John Roberts is not a liberal, but he does believe in the law. And you now see a situation where the right appointees, quote unquote, Republican appointees, are so hardcore to the right and fundamentalism that we have no chance except if Roberts stands with us, and that's not going to be enough because the court is now much more demagogue, much more arcane, much more fundamentalist. And Trump told you that was who he was going to appoint before he ever got elected. So the fact that you thought he was lying or kidding or whatever, obviously he was not. He told us exactly who he was and what he was going to do, and he did it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, there's no question that allowing Trump to appoint as many justices as he did was going to mm-hmm. be bad for the for anyone who believes in the law, and
yeah.
was going to make the Supreme Court much more conservative.
Yeah.
So, I want to go. You're absolutely. I mean, this is one of the consequences of having Trump elected and being allowed to appoint judges. Especially, I mean, Barrett should never have been allowed to be appointed. They wouldn't let Obama appoint Merrick Garland.
Yep.
And that was 10 months before the election, and Barrett was pushed through just weeks. So that aside, I want to go back to this Texas bill, because one of the provisions in it allows for the person bringing the suit to be awarded $10,000 if they're successful. So what you're going to, you know, this has the potential to basically create a kind of bounty hunter situation with people from, because anyone, anywhere can bring a suit. Now, it does have to be filed, you know, in a Texas court of law, but basically anyone can, you know, if they're successful in their suit. Now, of course, you know, it's too early yet to have even seen if any of these have been, you know, what the outcome is going to be. We don't know yet. And it's,
right.
There's still other avenues that might, in the long term, limit this horrible
right.
law.
Well, because I am concerned about the vigilante justice aspect of it, as I mentioned earlier. I mean, the idea that you can make money for turning somebody in on a hunch or a personal decision freaks the shit out of me. And listen, I have a lot of friends that I love in Texas. I actually, every time I've been to Texas, I've thoroughly enjoyed it. It's a lovely state. There are lovely people who live there, but this frightens me in a way that I have not been frightened before.
Well, you should be frightened. We should all be. Well, no, you shouldn't be frightened. You should be concerned. You know, I'm not sure exactly what the parameters on this. On the Texas law is there's a lot, and as I said, I am not a lawyer, but I have
right.
already seen from attorneys that I follow and that I respect on Twitter
mm-hmm.
saying that, you know, basically this is gonna clog the court both with you know suits and also. Legal matters that will try to prevent these, you know, bounty hunting, and you know, so this is
yeah.
going to be across the board. Now, excuse me.
Of course.
So the other thing that I think that you have to add into the mix here is that the courts are already. I mean, they're still backed up from. Been, you know, shut down for, you know, 6 weeks, you know, and then trying to sort out, you know, how do we do this? You know, if we're going to try and
yeah.
do things remotely, because, you know, you have a right to confront your accuser, you know, in
right.
person. Does Zoom qualify for that? I mean, so there was all of this that really bogged all the courts down everywhere. So there's still a backlog of cases, and
yeah.
so this is just going to make it even worse. But I think that you know, there are a couple of things. There are a couple of things going for us in all of this. One of the things, well, first of all, the fact that Sotomayor had some really strong wording in her dissent. This is part of her dissent that she wrote. The court's order is stunning. Presented with an application to enjoin a flagrantly unconstitutional law engineered to prohibit women from exercising their constitutional rights and evade judicial scrutiny, a majority of justices buried their heads in the sand. And then she goes on to say, because the court's failure to act rewards tactics designed to avoid judicial review and inflicts significant harm on the applicants and on the women seeking abortions in Texas. I dissent.
Yep.
Yep. You know, and there's, I mean, the White House and the Department of Justice are very much concerned about this. Justice Roberts, who is the Chief Justice on the Supreme Court, said that he would have blocked at least temporarily the law from going into effect in order
right.
to give the lower courts, you know, adequate time
chance.
To hear and decide, quote,
right.
whether a state can avoid responsibility for its laws by essentially delegating enforcement to the populace at large. So this is a huge, huge rub here. And just to, you know, so basically advocates for abortion rights had filed late last week for an emergency appeal that was supposed to be heard before the Fifth Circuit of Appeals, and then they canceled that hearing, which was, you know, scheduled on whether or not they would block the law, and they canceled it, which is also some, you know, some fuckery. So,
yes.
I mean, all of this is, I mean, this is not how things are supposed to work at all. Biden and Nancy Pelosi both have said that, you know, they have every intention of doing whatever they can to make sure that women have access to adequate health care. Biden said, I mean, like literally said that it, quote, unleashes unconstitutional chaos, end quote.
I agree.
That they're going to be
right.
That they're going to be looking for ways to counteract this. Pelosi said that they would be taking up legislation to codify access to abortion
mm-hmm.
when Congress goes back into session at the end of this month or later this month. And there is the Women's Health Protection Act, which has been, you know, on the table for a while now, and it will undoubtedly pass in the House. But it could, you know, it's going to be a lot harder to pass in the Senate, which is pretty divided. However, if all of this sounds really terrible, I'm not going to lie to you. It is. It is. It's very
it
terrible.
Is.
It's awful. It's fuckery to the nth degree.
Mm-hmm.
However, when you consider that, you know, 70% of Americans support Roe v. Wade. And not only that, but even probably a larger percentage support the foundation block for Roe v. Wade, because that involves the right to privacy.
Correct.
If this is allowed to stand for very long, what is going to happen is that there is going to be political fallout from this for the very people who have been pushing for it. So while in the short term and the interim, it is not going to be good for women. It's not good for women's reproductive rights. It's not good for, you know, the medical industry. It's not good for the courts. It might be very good for the midterms, actually, because, you know, Texas has really kind of gone off the rails in the last few months, and they have written some of the most insane laws that, I mean, it's pretty unreal. Okay, so here are just a few that I've picked out.
Before you do that, I just want to remind folks really quickly before we do that to please check out wildhunt.org. Give it all your support. Membership is not even a little expensive. It only takes a minute. Go become a sustaining member. It is the pagan paper of record. We need to support it. We need to have it. Okay, thank you. Wildhunt.org. Go ahead, please.
Thank you for that lovely endorsement.
Thank you.
So they passed a law about homeless camps. And, you know, if you've been anywhere, there are more and more homeless people all over the place. And now that the eviction moratorium has been lifted, there are going to be a whole lot more of them. But Texas...
Yes.
passed House Bill 1925, which makes camping in an unapproved public place a misdemeanor and punishable by a $500 fine. But guess what? Houston already had a homeless camp ban in place. So, I mean, it's like this is like they who needed to do that? They also have passed House Bill 9, which protesters who block any road or freeway and prevent emergency vehicles from passing or block hospital entrances will now face felony charges rather than a misdemeanor. And basically it's punishable by up to 2 years in prison. Critical race theory, which for those of you who, I know, I'm opening that can. So they have passed a law that teachers are now limited on how they discuss certain historical events, race, and racism in the classroom. The law bans discussions over critical race theory, which, as we've mentioned in the past, is not something that is ever even really, I mean, that's more college level discussion. It is not something that happens at the you know, kindergarten level.
In grade school.
They cannot discuss critical race theory or even the idea that some people are inherently racist, sexist, or oppressive, whether consciously or unconsciously, okay?
What?
And no roundup of idiotic Texas laws would be complete without the law that they passed about the national anthem. Professional sports teams in Texas are now required to play the national anthem, regardless of players' opinion on the symbolism of the song. Those that do not follow the law risk losing millions of dollars in state and local tax subsidies.
Can you fuckers secede now? I have an idea, Texas. You wanted to leave anyway. Fucking go. You know what? I'll help you build the wall around you.
Well,
Texas has wanted to secede from the Union for a really long time. I'm now thinking, let's go ahead.
No, and I'll tell you why. Okay. They have continued to, you know, to pass laws that restrict voting. That happened last month as well. You know, they are restricting access enforcing their oppressive and restrictive voting rights, which is hilarious, voting rights.
Right.
So,
yeah.
You know, and there's still some question as to whether or not those, you know, those Democrats will actually be arrested and charged with you know. But, so all of this is going on, but the thing that's really important to know here is that Texas, first of all, is a really big fucking state. It's a huge state. And it's becoming more and more blue. It is now purple. There are lots and lots of companies that have moved to Texas on the promise of, you know, that it's a great place to do business. It's a great place to live. It's a, you know, it's a great place to send your kids to school, yada, yada, yada. And Texas is, you know, pretty dependent on these businesses that have moved there.
Right.
So, you know, how do you think all this is going to fly? I'm thinking it's probably not going to fly very good. And they can, you know, sure, they can gerrymander the vote. They can refresh the vote.
Yeah.
And in the short term, yeah, they're probably going to get what they want. But, you know, so I think you have to look at it from the point that, yeah, we may have lost the battle, but when it comes to the actual war, we will win because, as I have said many, many times, the American people are some of the most belligerent people on the face of the planet. As we have seen throughout all of this pandemic with people, you know, going crazy over masks or whatever, you know, the left-leaning side of the country, they're not immune from this shit, okay? They're just as crazy as the other half.
I know. Not just that. It's a different crazy. A little bit different crazy.
I agree. They're every bit as belligerent. So there is going to be a political price to pay for this, you know, sooner or later. I mean, provided we don't end up living, under authoritarian rule in the interim. And I don't think that we will, because I think that people are going to be willing to stand in line. This is just going to galvanize the left more than ever. People, you know, think back to the presidential election and how many people said, oh, Trump is going to win. You know, it's all doom and gloom. We can't win this.
I don't know about that aspect, but the fact of the matter is that in retrospect of what happened, a lot of us still absolutely believe it was too fucking close. I'm sorry.
Well, it was too close. I mean, there shouldn't have been any, you know, any contest. I mean, it should have been no contest.
Exactly. Right.
But I think that if the turnout was high for the presidential election, because what we've seen, okay, so, you know, here in North Carolina, we have our own fucking idiot, Madison Cawthorn, right, who got elected over a decorated veteran, you know, like, you know, which that's a whole other story. But the point is that there's a direct cause and effect here. And I think that we're going to see a bigger turnout for the midterms than what we've seen previously. And I think just like, you know, people were willing to stand in line for friggin' days if that's what it took in Atlanta to vote. And I don't think the midterms are going to be any different, except that I think it's going to be even more widespread. You know, if you can't walk into, you know, if you can't drop your ballot off, you can't mail your ballot off, you can't get because they restricted everything. They still, it was not as bad as it could have been, believe that or not.
Right.
So I think that people are going to, they're going to turn out in droves, and they need to. They have to. Because if we keep allowing these people to get to get voted in, we're going to get more of the same or worse. But also,
yeah,
the amount of misinformation that is being proliferated, you know, not just on social media by you know, faux news organizations like, you know, ONN and, you know, which is One American News Network, and some of these other fringy kind of outlets that are popular online, but also, you know, fucking Sinclair Broadcasting, Fox News, you know, they are all, I mean, you know, I live in a market that the only local station is a Sinclair station. Did they do any real investigative reporting on Madison Cawthorn? Well, fuck no, they didn't. You know, they did some lame ass, oh, well, some people are saying this or that, but they didn't put any really hard questions to him. They didn't, you know, dig in. And that's what's got to happen. And we, as, you know, citizens of this country have got to demand, you know, accountability from not just our elected officials, but from our news media. They have got to be held accountable. I mean, I write news. If I wrote some of the shit that has passed for news that I've seen from, I mean, we would be barbecued. It would be the end of us.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So we've got to stand up, and we've got to hold people accountable across. If you're in a position of authority, whether you're a newspaper, a TV station, an elected official, or somebody who is a leader in your community, elected or not, and you're proliferating bullshit, then it's going to be up to all of us to say, I don't think so. Maybe we need a law where we can just sue, you know, we need $10,000 lawsuit thing for, like, the abortion law for people who spread misinformation. What about that? You know, and no.
Well, I think there is room out there for journalistic malpractice, and I think it should be exercised. I mean, you can't... You know, the whole thing about you can say whatever you want should be couched in the assumption that someone is telling the truth. If you're allowed to just lie, then we're all fucking liars. Words mean something or they don't, and it seems like now they don't. And that's not a good place for anyone to be, or any state, or any nation, or any group, even in a one-on-one relationship. If words don't mean anything, then you have nothing. We've got to get back to the point where words actually mean something.
I agree. Well, I mean, I think that they do mean something, and I think that by and large, you know, we do have viable news outlets that are trustworthy. I mean, you know, we have the AP, we have Reuters, we have... you know, they're kind of the gold standard. But even as someone who writes news stories, I don't just go with one source. I verify it with multiple sources. And that's what everyone should be doing. You know, before you go posting that stupid-ass article all over social media, whatever is your flavor that you like, you know, whether it's Facebook or Twitter or Instagram or TikTok. Oh, and I have to tell you, okay, so here's something hilarious in the lighter end on this.
Okay.
So the apparently TikTok, they set up a website where you can report. It's an anonymous tip line in Texas to report, you know, illegal abortions being if you see one or you know about one, you can report it anonymously.
Right.
And as of last night, or early this morning, TikTokers were spamming the tip line by sending Shrek memes. Let us not underestimate the, you know, the people that this is going to affect the most are, there's no telling how they're going to push back. So I don't think, you know, I think it's easy to doom scroll. And I mean, you look at what's going on with the environment. You look at what's going on politically. You look at what's going on
sure.
in the fucking state of Texas, the Supreme Court. Yes, it's bad. But I can remain hopeful because beyond all else, I believe in the belligerence of the American people, and every now and then we get it right. So, you know, we'll just have to wait and see what comes next. But I don't think this law is not going to stand, but it's going to be a while before it's challenged.
Right. I agree. And for that, I am trying to have hope for the future. I mean, the bombardment of constant negativity gets to us all at some point. I had a very bad bout of it this week. I've actually had a bad bout of it for the last couple of weeks. So I'm very grateful to my co-host for saying, hey, it's not 100% doom and gloom. There are things that can change. So I'm very appreciative to you for that, because where there's life, there's hope. And if you start wallowing like I have, it's a hard hole to dig out of, because it just all seems like shit. It's not. Things may look bad right now for certain aspects of our lives, know that there are good people putting in a good fight. And should we be called upon to help, then we must step up and help. And when it comes to the midterm elections, guys, you know this from the Obama years. You know this from the Trump years. It is so important to stay engaged even when it is a non-presidential election year. It's serious all the time. It is our duty to stay in the fight with folks and make sure that we are doing our part, and don't ignore the midterm elections. They are so, so important.
So you are absolutely correct. I want to throw this in here real quick.
Yes.
First of all,
of course,
don't wait for somebody to ask for help. If you have an opportunity to help somebody, especially if you live in the state of Texas, or even if you don't.
Right.
And you know somebody that needs help with getting access to health care, for whether it's for an abortion or whatever, they're going to be funds set up all over. I saw last night dozens of attorneys saying, you know, if you get hit with one of these suits, call me. I will represent you pro bono. So there are resources out there. Be watching for more of these funds to pop up. As always, you want to vet it and verify it. But there are going to be lots of ways that all of us can help. And when we get accurate information that's been verified and vetted, we need to share that information. So
absolutely.
And rant.
Absolutely. Well, on that note, we are just about out. So on behalf of myself, I want to say thanks again for another month of the news. And on behalf of my wonderful co-host, what do you want to say, Star?
I want to say that everybody should try to do something kind for someone else, because there's just enough shitty people in the world that we don't need anymore. So do something nice and kind for somebody. That's what I got.
Sounds good. All right. Well, that's the word. Once again, please check out wildhunt.org. Give it all your support. And also, in addition to that, if you're able to help anybody going through the crisis with Ida, please, as Star said, vet first and then assist as you can. And we will see you all next month. Have a very happy and safe September. Please get vaccinated. Wash your hands. I mean, if you can get vaccinated, which most of us can. I believe the only religion that says you can't are Jehovah's Witnesses. So if you folks are listening, please do the right thing. Test and mask. And hopefully we will see you all next month. This is Rain and Star saying bye-bye.